The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
This is Corolla Digital. NAPA Auto Parts wants to know, what makes today's new cars so smart? Is it the questionably useful Wi-Fi connectivity? Could it be the giant, confusing touchscreens you should probably stop playing with while driving? Or perhaps voice-activated everything that never seems to listen very well? The answer, of course, is none of the above. Click the banner to see the smartest car available today.
Great clips, man. Save time every time. Go online. Check in. I like this because I can try to take my son to get the haircut. I don't know if the place is busy or how long we got to wait. I don't like that. We use Great Clips now. Download the free app or check in online at greatclips.com. What you do with the time you save is totally up to you. Great Clips. It's going to be great.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Chris Francie, with Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, he used to hurry a lot, he used to worry a lot, he used to stay out to the break of day, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love the sharing part. I see those ratings go up every week because you guys are out sharing. And speaking of that, I've been sitting at like 1,000 or 2,000 under 500,000 tweet followers, Twitter followers. So it's getting me to 500,000. It's kind of nice. I've been staring at like 498 for too long. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian. No more.
Oh, no, there's a lot more.
Mm-hmm. So Chris Francie is the COO of a marijuana holding company, and we're going to talk all about Prop 64, and you'd be surprised about what it can generate and all that kind of stuff. And California, got that. Now, million things to get to. Speaking of the election and breaking news, and a treat for you guys, I got a semi-urgent from email from one Alec Baldwin yesterday.
Oh.
And it was very flattering. And
quiet.
It said that, hey, I'm doing a match game, celebrity match game, and I checked the roster, and I could use a little help.
Can I have Jimmy Kimmel's number?
Yeah. So
you know Bill Simmons, the sports guy, right?
It was actually Joel McHale. But yeah, same idea.
I would have gotten there eventually. Cranston was next.
Yeah. So he said, you know, I know it's kind of last minute notice, but can you come out to New York? And I think his feeling is he likes to have someone he knows he can go back and forth with on the panel on the other side.
That makes sense.
And good in the moment. There's a live think on your feet kind of thing.
Yeah. Just don't have to do so much. You got to do three shows a day, you know, not so much heavy lifting. So I thought, all right, now what's he, when is this? And I started looking at the calendar. And I realize it's just when we're done with Austin, that'll be on the 5th, Paramount Theater, by the way, and the Chive guys are going to be there, and then we got the after party and everything, that stuff. Then the next day I'm doing the race, and then I'm halfway there. Instead of going to L.A., I'll go to New York and do that. But then I thought, well, wait a minute. I got to do a podcast. And then I thought, well, wait a minute. Now, Alec, you want me to do you a favor and come out to New York. Now, you got to do me a favor, and you got to be on the podcast. And then I realized the next day is the election.
Oh, this is a mitzvah.
Yeah.
So this is
beshert.
This is Baldwin.
Did I get that right?
No, you didn't.
Okay. This is Baldwin for the election day podcast.
My God. He said, sorry, I'm busy. I'll be fuming at my laptop on Twitter. There'll be steam coming out of my ears.
Yes, Gary.
For those who are looking for a little election coverage, we're going to be doing a show at 6 p.m. on election night, and we will be live streaming it to Facebook. So when you listen to the podcast on Wednesday morning, you'll be able to get our take on the election. But if you'd like to watch live with us, 6 p.m. on Facebook.com/Adam Carolla.
I'm sorry. Is this us, or is you and Baldwin?
No, this is us. Baldwin will be election day. Ours will be election day as well, live, but then the next day results. Or you know what I'm saying. All right.
We'll record Wednesday's podcast live on Tuesday evening at 6 p.m.
Right. All right. So so that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
So the guy's knocking out of the ballpark with Trump. We'll have him on for you. So that's good news. The bad news are the what I like to call indicator news. You know, for me, I always say this all the time. It's my polar bear theory. We do not need – if somebody said I lived with a herd or gaggle or murder or whatever of polar bear, pride, a coven, a polar bear, and I spent
– a pod.
A pod of polar bear, and I lived with the – I lived with them for 14 years, so I know how polar bears work. You see, everyone just goes, oh, well, this guy's a polar bear expert. Right. But if you say that about human beings, you're like, well, did you live with all polar bears all the time? Yeah. And they go, no.
So you're making generalizations about polar bears based on your admittedly limited experience?
So you're saying they all live off seal blubber. Well, I went to high school with a polar bear who was vegan. Uh-huh. Right. Yeah. Oh, a celebration of polar bears.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Really? God, Coke has it right.
Per Google.
Wow. Okay. But people are the same way. We just have to do that stupid thing where we go, oh, I know a kid who never met his dad, who grew up in poverty with 28 brothers and sisters and was systematically tortured by his aunt, and he turned out to be a lawyer.
Yeah.
It's like, I get it. It happens. But we're studying polar bears to try to figure out what we're going to do with climate change or feeding them or whatever it is, attacks on climatologists, and this will be enough for us.
Yeah. And it's also the exception that proves the rule. If you know the one kid who was abused and blah, 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 had tough life, and then became a lawyer, the fact that one kid stands out in your mind and your experience means that he's in a wild exception.
The broken clock.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also... Hero / pussy, what if I said to you, your flooring in your kitchen's made of asbestos, and super pussy mom would be like, oh my God, and I'd just rush in and go, hey, I know people have been exposed to asbestos, and they're fine. Mm-hmm. I know a guy who was exposed to asbestos, working in a shipping industry. Mm-hmm. He built ships. He built Liberty ships for the Navy. He's 87 years young. Mm-hmm. What would you say, bitch? Yeah. Would you go, all right, let my kid play on the floor?
Oh,
would
my mind is at ease now.
Yes, no, you wouldn't. You'd say, shut the fuck up.
have another taste of tile, Timmy.
Yes.
No, you wouldn't say that.
You wouldn't say that. So let's just do that with everything and be at least consistent. So for me, I don't need a whole lot of data. I just need indicators. And when I was watching El Chapo escape... and he crawled through the sewer system, and he commandeered a car... And he jumped in that car, and it broke down 100 feet later. And then he commandeered another car, and that car overheated 100 yards later. I went, that ain't Germany. You ain't in Germany commandeering cars. You're somewhere in some Central American, God knows, Mexico, wherever he was. And you need to get it together. Oh. Because if you commandeer two cars, and you can't make it three blocks in two commandeered cars, I don't need to see a study... On what city was he in, Gary? But I don't.
What has happened to this country? I've overrun.
I don't need a study on the roadworthiness of automobiles in whatever part of Mexico he was in. I've just learned through the two he borrowed randomly that both broke down that things are not running like they should. That's all. And when I heard this story out of Santa Clarita, California, a couple days ago, I realized we're breaking down here too. Okay. It's Las Mochas, Mexico.
Oh,
okay.
Beautiful.
Well, there
Las
you go.
Mochas.
Perfect. Perfect. The car breakdown capital of the world. Boy, if you're with AAA, you want a headquarter in Las Mochas, man.
Embarrassment of riches.
Yeah. Volvo's up ringing.
Santa Clarita, I was hearing a story. The bad times in Santa Clarita that's 30 miles away from where we live. But it's in L.A. County, I guess, or something.
Yeah.
Six Flags, right?
Yeah, by Magic Mountain.
Yeah. So, man in a clown outfit approached a home to try to rob it.
So far, so good.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy who owned the home ran back in, and he grabbed a gun, like, from the garage, and he fired it up in the air, and I think he yelled, go ahead, get, clown! Or maybe just fired the gun. But fired the gun up in the air, and scare the clown away.
Sure.
All right, so far,
squirted
I'm not...
Squirted seltzer at him.
I'm not, his dicky went pop, 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 pop.
Oh, his, yeah, his bow tie.
His carnation.
Well, the bow tie spins, and
the carnation shoots.
Yeah, the dicky goes...
Yeah, rolls up.
Yeah, exactly.
Rolls up,
yeah.
Like when the opera singer
like a scroll.
Hits the high note. Yeah. Okay. There's, so there, all right, so I'm not yelling at the wife and kids, we got to pack it up and move to Santa Clarita.
Right.
But then deputies, then the guy called 911, and the deputies went and searched around, and good news, they found a guy with a clown mask, and he had burglary tools him.
There you go.
Different clown. There's just another clown that's planning on burglarizing a house, but not this clown. One's Hobo Kelly, one's Bozo.
Is this the Purge?
What is happening?
Not again. Now I'm telling them, slow down the packing at this point for the move to Santa Clarita. Yeah. Now the jury's out. You know, now we got two clowns running around trying to rob people.
Oh.
Different clown. And then the deputies then searched the home of the guy who fired the gun and arrested him for drugs and firearms.
Could it be any other way?
Not a good sign. Not a good. Does not represent, just like El Chapo's borrowed cars, does not represent all the cars out on the road
right.
in that part of Mexico, but a little indicator. Yeah. Of why we shouldn't be rushing to move to Santa Clarita.
And maybe this is Valencia, although I think they're neighbors, but didn't they try to rebrand it as Awesome Town? Isn't that what they were calling it instead? That was a campaign.
That's more than three polar bear. It's called Awesome Town.
Awesome Town. Okay, so it's next door.
Yeah.
I know burglars aren't always the smartest amongst us, but...
Not all burglars, Brian.
Would it not be a poor decision to rob a house dressed as a clown? Because when the cops go, hey, see any clowns running around here? Like, oh, well, funny you should mention. As opposed to, hey, see any guys wearing jeans and a black t-shirt? Like, well, I don't know.
Well, I'm with you.
You know what I mean?
I'm with you, but it's sort of like saying, you know, robbing a bank with a stocking on your head, and then they just have to look for a guy walking around with a stocking on his head. I'm imagining you immediately get out of that outfit.
Sure,
that's what I'm saying.
I imagine the clown outfit takes a lot more time to disdon.
The grease paint behind the ear. You can't get the whole thing off at the gas station bathroom.
Sure,
you know what I'm saying. Well, and I'm with you.
Keep rolling, Mitch. We're looking for a sad clown.
Right. Yeah, where you're saying, white Hanes t-shirt and cargo shorts going to be a little tough to narrow you down, right?
Yeah, to profile you.
Wow.
All right.
Hell of a story.
Also, let's see. I got a few favorite tweets to get to. My own self. Let's see. What do we got up there? Oh, Gary. Oh, let's see. First, a good Mike August story for everybody. Everyone loves a good Mike August story because Mike's got a lot of range.
Geez, you're going from here to Texas to New York. You're going to have a lot of Mike August stories.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, we're...
You're going to load up.
We're going because Mike's coming. I told Mike, you want to go to New York? You want to go see Baldwin? You want to go whatever? He's like, I don't know, man. So we booked it. We're ready to go. Mike, we were at the Foxwoods Casino, and then we were going to drive in and eat Hungarian food. You guys were in a limo.
Me and Dawson, yeah.
Yep. We took Mike Lynch's car and smallish VW, but comfortable. Mm-hmm. And we drove out to his place, not in Lowell anymore, but it's pretty rural, actually. It's off the whatever, and it's outside of Boston. I guess it's about 35 minutes outside of Boston. And it's a nice neighborhood, but they have a very modest house. And, they have to live off the salary of a, counselor, basically, a worker,
public servant,
like a social worker. Mm-hmm, you know what I mean? Don't get rich. They're doing the Lord's work.
Yeah, not Mr. Moneybags.
But he's been wanting to get me over there for a long time to walk through the place and give him some pointers on some home improvement, this, that, and the other. He's in about 900 and something square feet. So it's a little house, but it's nicely done, and it's they're doing
cozy.
Okay for themselves.
You have the one kid. It's good size for that family.
Yeah. And I'm giving him a few things, and he gives me. And so on the way, before we eat Hungarian food, we stop at his house, mm-hmm. and we go through the basement, we go through the kitchen, we go through the grounds, we go through the whole place. And he's picking my brain all along the way about raising the ceiling in the living room, and I'm giving him my 2 cents. And at some point, we spill out onto the sort of entry porch lawn area, and he's saying, I'm thinking about bringing out this wall in the master, the entry. I think he has a, I don't think they have a master bedroom, but the bathroom off the master bedroom. Mm-hmm. And he wants to kick the wall out, and maybe kick the wall out a little living room, get some extra square feet in here for Trixie. And I'm talking about the potential of moving out, but you can't get too far out. There's a septic tank out there. And Mike just goes, why don't you just tear the place down?
Oh, I just said that.
Yes.
Well, hey, listen, it cuts to the most simple solution.
Start over.
And I'm like,
the most simple, straightforward.
Why don't you just tear the place? But there's nothing.
Why don't you just kill yourself?
It's really, it's like a vet going, why don't you shoot this dog? I don't get why you're spending money on it.
You need some tooth pulled.
Like, because Mike is on a limited budget, they have a family, and it can't just take a wrecking ball to the place and build the Guggenheim.
It's
there.
Wildly elaborate.
But Mike's like, well, just tear it down. And there's no way of getting around, why don't you just tear it down, when a guy's really walked every square inch of your house, including the basement, closed-in porches and everything, in terms of what his opinion is of your house.
That's messed up.
There ain't a whole lot of sugarcoating, why don't you just tear it down after a 40-minute walkthrough of every square inch of the house.
It's hard to get back to. You have a lovely home. Don't get me wrong. You have a lovely, lovely home.
How did Lynch take it?
I did what I do, which is, I don't mind that you do this, Mike, Ray, whomever, you know, asking fat people how much they weigh. I mind that I'm standing here. I would hope that you would do. I'm sure right now someone is murdering their child in a bathtub. I'm not
You're not there.
I'm able to eat lunch.
Way better.
But I have to stand in between the two for the insane uncomfortableness. There's a pause, and then I have to sit there and go, please wait till I'm in the car. And you're out of the car before you ask these questions. And Mike, now, to be fair to Mike, Mike August, to be fair to August, Lynch lives in a neighborhood that's he's the cheapest house on the block. So I think Mike's thing was catch up to the Joneses.
Right.
But obviously, they don't have the ability to stay in a hotel for a year,
right,
and or plans and permits and the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars, whatever it is. So Mike Lynch semi-snarkily replies, well, if I had a whole bunch of money in the bank and a whole bunch of time and a second residence and an assistant to help me do this, then yes, I would, Mike. Yeah. But I don't have any money and I don't have any time or any place to live. That's why I'm picking Adam's brain about adding on eight square feet and doing it myself.
Right.
But I appreciate the part where you think the whole thing should be destroyed.
And was that sufficient for August? He's like, no, I really, really think you should tear it down. Yeah.
I had to yell at Mike and explain to him that how do you think a guy's going to feel? And he was sort of proudly saying, you know, I painted the basement myself. I redid it. I made this in my little office. You can tell when somebody has some pride of ownership.
Yeah.
But all out the window. As Mike decided to bring the thing down like a aged Vegas casino. All right, where's Gary, by the way? Is he back there? No.
He's somewhere.
All right, well, why don't you get Gary? Because Gary was going to play something for me, but now it's going to be difficult. I'll tell you guys about Reverie Bed. Heat, the enemy of sleep, everybody. Cooler temperatures help people sleep. God, I've felt that way my whole life, and now I'm living the dream with Reverie, man. I got the Dream Cell mattress. Doesn't retain heat. Of course, you have a 112-pound lab sleeping on your head. It does generate a certain amount of heat. So it's cool. It's got the top layer of latex, and it's made with little pinholes that let the heat escape. It's individual Dream Cell foam springs underneath, made with natural, breathable latex, allowed the air to circulate through there. Like I said, about 5 o'clock every day, I take my little half hour nap. I just put the thing on vibrate, and when it's done, I get up, man. Beautiful. So why toss and turn? Because the mattress is too hot. Let's get a Reverie bed. I got to tell you, it has changed my life. It's a sleep system. Don't call it a bed. Buy Reverie. Buy now. Get going. And they're going to throw in a set of $400 surround sound speakers, specially designed for the bed. It's a sleep system. I'm telling you, people, don't call it a bed. It's Reverie, Dawson.
Call Reverie at 888-888-5990. That's 888-888-5990. Offer only available by phone. Offer excludes Streamlight sleep system. Features may vary by model.
All right. I don't know why, but I was doing my Ace on the House podcast, or as my dad likes to call it, Ace on the Roof, because why would he ever get the name of any of that puppet time?
He got most puppet of the time. Words right in the title, so yeah. Give him some credit. He's come a long way.
Hey, showman.
Ace on the...
Well, much like the aforementioned Mike August asking if you should just bulldoze, go ahead and bulldoze the house. Mm-hmm. Should we leave Trixie in the crib, or should we just take her out? All right. When either my sister asked me, that show with the puppet, that's still on, the puppet show there, and what channel was that on? Mm. There's a way to insult people without really calling them stupid or fat or dumb or evil or anything. It's just a way to ask a couple questions. Okay. That puppet thing still on the comedy shows?
The thing with the bouncing girls.
The bouncies, right? Yeah.
And on the comedy show station there? Mm-hmm. Still? Is that still on?
Yeah. Like, is that still on? Like, I haven't heard them in a long time.
Yeah, it's a huge... Yeah. Everyone knows, because like, if you're a huge fan of The Sopranos, you walk around all day going, is that still on? Yeah. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Feels great. Ray was over here. Ace on the roof. And I'll just give you... I'll do a little what we used to do in radio... Gene, I don't know. Do you still have to do the air check?
Oh, sure.
The air check's the worst thing ever.
It's the best thing ever, peeps!
It is.
We don't do them every day, but we do them.
It is.
Fly it my way.
Listening to a, back in the day, a cassette of like a break of one of a show that you're doing, like, I don't know, 18 minutes, 20 minutes, and you going in the program director's office. And he'll always pick out the worst one.
Of course.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Let's listen to a great section you did.
Let's listen to just how many phone calls you took when you said you're going to open the phone lines were wide open. And then you ended up talking about high school football for 22 minutes. And then you went to commercial and then you broke in the middle of the commercial to talk more about football. Like, it's always horrible. You have to sit there.
Hypothetically, for some to you. It's probably made for you, Gene, is what the morning show talks to you about.
Sure.
You have to just sit there and listen to just how bad you were.
They stare at you. You stare at the floor.
It's game film.
It's like game film.
You see yourself.
You missed that block.
You're missing the block. Right. And anyone who sat next to me, you can, I probably said yes and not only that, but is the way you do it. Yes, I agree. And let me offer some more about the point you're making. I had to yell at my buddy Ray. Oh. Now, part of the reason...
First time for everything.
Part of the reason guys like Ray are Ray is because we've been doing the show for 4 years, or 5 years, 6 years. I don't know. And I've been...
Six years.
Oh, and I've been explaining them all the time. Hey, listen, Ray. Here's how you do it. Mm-hmm. Here's how you do it.
Hey, buddy. I just figured it out last month.
The thing that's always funny about Ray is, and anybody, any of the colossal fuck-ups of the world, is they, meaning Spike... are getting down to the, hey, we got to start staffing up for this live home improvement show on this primetime show on Spike. And then, of course, I got Ray going, huh, you need a sidekick? Mm. All right, you tell me.
Well, do you?
You tell me whether I need a sidekick. We can use a little, I'm using a Vinnie Tortorich reference here. Gary grabbed it, so we'll play it for you. I mean, like Vinnie Tortorich says, you know, people are getting fat eating all these carbs because fat has the word fat in it. Fat's actually good for you, but it's got the word fat in it, so people are scared of it. You see what I'm saying?
Okay. I eat a lot of fat.
Ray, when did you complete your groundlings training? Ray,
yes,
do you understand what I'm saying to you?
Oh, okay, yeah. Go ahead. Get revved up.
Right,
talk about the fucking shelf.
No, you make a point to me. Make a point to me.
Nope.
Make a point to me. Matt, make a point to me.
Don't do
make
it,
a point
Matt.
To
Don't
me about keeping your car clean or
keep
or,
your car clean
or polishing your shoes or washing your hands. Just make a point to me.
I gotcha.
Make
you know,
a point to me.
If your car is clean, you're going to be a much happier person.
Okay. I have a dirty car.
But...
Okay, hold on a second. Now, what I was making a joke about is the guy was saying, I fix up houses about every year. I flip them, I move. And my wife hates it. And I said, yeah, I know. My wife hates it, too. And sure. Then I paused. And I said, maybe she just hates it because it has the word move in it, like physically moving, yeah. Like work has the word work
right.
in it. And fat has the word fat in it. That was my point. But let's listen to Ray one more time in this incredible dynamic that's going to get him all over Spike TV. All right, here we go.
Well, I mean, like Vinny Tortorich says, you know, people are getting fat eating all these carbs because fat has the word fat in it. Fat's actually good for you, but it's got the word fat in it, so people are scared of it. You see what I'm saying?
Okay. I eat a lot of fat.
Nothing more satisfying. Anyway, maybe 6 years from now.
You better hope the Spike executives don't get a hold of that, because I would watch the shit out of that show.
That's the thing. I mean, that would be very entertaining.
Oh, you'd,
if you'd light
hold
him
on.
Up.
You'd watch the
Ray,
shit out of this part.
Your groundlings training? Ray, yes, do you understand what I'm saying
this
to you?
This part.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead. Get revved up. Talk about the fucking shove.
No, you make a point to me. Make a point to me.
Nope.
Make a point to me. Matt, make a point to me.
Don't
make a point to me about keeping your car clean or...
That was subtly the funniest part. Make a point to me.
No.
Nope.
A dick. No wonder he's a D-minus student. No, he wasn't.
Says the D-plus student.
Yeah.
Yeah, D.
Well, at least I showed up and earned my D.
That's right.
Ray didn't even show up. Still moved along. Who would want to? You want to know that? Nobody. Like, in terms of Ray repeating a grade, do you think Mr. Spaeth wanted Ray again? Like, everyone was like, it was like having a bobcat stay another night in your tent. You know what I mean? Like, hey, you were a bad bobcat last night. You have to stay tonight, too.
Here's how it went with the principal. It goes to Mr. Mr. Spaeth, I saw you gave Ray Oldhofer here an F in your class.
Yeah, no, upgrade to D, move along.
Okay, I was going
to
say, if he gets an F, then he has to stay another year.
Oh, I just heard the sound of someone spilling gravy on a carpet, and it needs to be clean. Let's get Oldhofer out.
Okay, so the grade now is a D?
A D, whatever, okay. Out.
D for depart.
Is there an O for out? All right, so I don't know why that made me laugh.
I watched the hell out of that show.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Appointment viewing.
Would you ever allow that if they were interested?
I don't mind an honest dialogue. The reason I'm such a look, if anyone wants to know why I'm a dick about the whole thing, it's because I sit and I explain it. To listen, you have to listen to what I'm saying, and then you have to go
and
understand what the thing. He was just tuned out. Yeah. That's what his whole thing was, and he just went like, "Huh?
Make a point.
I eat fat.
Nope."
I said.
All right. Yo, listen, you haven't heard. He's threatened to pick up the stool and throw it at me.
Oh, wow.
What was I yelling at him about?
Three or four weeks ago, he did throw a stool.
Wow.
Not at you, but.
This is a hard sell for Ace on the Roof.
Grounds for
every
termination.
Every Saturday, AdamCarolla.com, AceOnTheRoof.com.
What was I doing with him at that? What was I doing that was pissing him off on that one?
I can't remember exactly. Let me go back and look the write up.
Yeah, you can find that clip if you want to hear Ray freaking out. But I was.
Do you get mad when he does it, or you just laugh?
No, I don't care. I've been dealing with it my whole life. I mean, he doesn't care if I yell at him. I don't care if he yells at me.
It's a complicated relationship.
It's amazing.
All right, let me jump on a phone call here. Speak to Michael, 52, Austin. Michael,
get it on, Adam.
What's going on?
Hey, man, why do you think it is this day and age that every sports fan, broadcaster, producer, or bag on the stool at a Buffalo Wild Wings acts like they know what a big play is, but no one can really define it?
Well, how would you define it?
What a big play is?
Yeah.
Well, okay, so big play can either be the amount of yards covered or how important that short period was with the clock ticking down, fourth down.
Yeah, big play can be a spectacular play, or it can be a very important play. You're right.
Right.
Well, how would you define it, Michael, from Austin?
Well, wouldn't you agree that it actually is nothing more than just a subjective moment in time that they decide it was a big play or wasn't?
Hey, what are you doing this Sunday about noon? I'm having the fellas over to watch football.
Can you tell us not to cheer?
And we've been enjoying ourselves a little too much. Like, I feel like we need to ratchet it down.
Exactly.
Just
too
a
much
little,
merriment.
Just a little bit. Yeah. Wow, Michael.
Well, I just think it's interesting that by defining exactly what big plays are, not just for football, but for baseball, basketball, and golf, I've been able to put a value on them so that not only can I come out with the score and exactly define what the contribution was of the different team elements, but also be able to tell you next weekend with 60% accuracy whether or not the favorite team will cover the spread or not. That seems like that would be a value.
You got my ear.
Okay, now we're listening.
You got my ear.
So what do you what do we like?
Where's our money go this week?
Who's coming up this weekend, and what do we got over here?
Well, I propose you have me on as a guest on your show.
Well, you got to sell us first. You got to prove yourself.
He's just selling the sizzle, not the steak.
Yeah, you got to prove yourself.
I'll tell you what.
Anyone can come and say they have a system.
Why don't you pick? Let's do five games.
Let's do five games.
I think that's what I said. Let's do five. We're doing the opposite of what Ray does. Let's do five games. Tell us right now what the spread is in those games and who the home team is. You pick the five. Gary will chart those games, or he'll log them, and then we'll figure out how good you do.
Wait, I'm sorry.
That sounds great. I'll tell you what. I'll call in tomorrow.
No.
Come on.
I'll put you on hold. Find those five games while you're on hold, okay?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
You have a system. It should be hard to find.
Well, I mean, I'm kind of out and about right now, enjoying calling into you while I'm mobile. I have this idea.
Oh, you're mobile. Where are you?
I'm mobile.
By the way, I don't need the about part. You can say you're out. I won't go.
And also?
Are you about?
Are you levitating? Are you on another planet? What do you mean? Oh, and about. Okay, now I get it. You're the Jiffy Loop. So you're out and about. What do you do for a living, Michael?
I developed big play scoring.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. You have your phone on you because we're communicating while you're out and about, right?
Mm-hmm. Both.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to put you on hold for a few minutes. You're going to pick five games, and you're going to give us the final score and the spread.
That's ambitious.
And If you do, and I think we're fair-minded here. Brian knows enough. I know enough.
Gary, if he proves himself, I'm not a doubter.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't have to go 5 for 5 at the exact score. But if you prove yourself to be...
If there's something there.
If something there, then you can come in and predict some games. All right?
Well, Adam, what I'm telling you I'd like to do is if you'll tell me the five games for this upcoming weekend you want me to look at, I'll look at how the upcoming favorite teams did the previous week. And relative to the big plays as I define them and the value I...
Just pick five goddamn games, would you, for the love of Christ?
All right, to make it easier, there's five games that start at 1 o'clock p.m. Pacific or later on Sunday. That's Sunday night, Monday night, and three late games on Sunday. Those are your games. The late games.
Okay, the late games.
The late games. There's five late games.
The late games. All right. I will put him on hold. I'll let him think about that. I'll tell you about Castrol Edge. Ah, today's... Smaller engines. I was just thinking about it. You know, the new Porsche 911. It's got a 3-liter in it. And you're like, what? That's not very big for a big old fast sports car. Twin turbo. Spooling up. Revving up. Yeah, I mean, this thing's had a 3-liter in them. In the 77? 78? I'm trying to think. They're going way back. You know, they kept getting bigger. Mm. They're like a 2.4, and then, well, they said like a 1.8, then a 2, then a 2.2, then a 2.4, then a 3-liter, and then we march right past 3-liters.
Really?
Now we're back. We're going smaller.
Is it more efficient?
Yeah, but we still want the power.
Sure.
So guess what? It's a...
Where are you going to sacrifice?
Picture a chihuahua pulling a dog sled.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I was already there, but okay.
Paint pictures with my tongue, man. There you go. That's why I need Castrol Edge, made with liquid titanium technology, 3 times stronger. 3 times.
Three times, fool.
3 times stronger against viscosity breakdown than the leading full synthetic. Castrol Edge, titanium strong for maximum engine performance. Make sure your next change is a Castrol change. Castrol Edge. So, Gary, were we able to figure out what I was telling Ray something he was tired of hearing, but I can't remember what it was.
Give me a moment. I'll have the clip for you. I can tell you what it was if you're...
What was it?
We were playing a song, and you were doing a Through the Years montage. So we're working on cutting the clip. Give me about 5 minutes. I'll have a good version for you. But yeah, he was quite irate.
Oh, no.
Spike, well...
Listen up.
Give them an air
right.
check.
I'll tell you guys. Now, first, a little piece of backtrack business. Somebody tweeted, and this is why I like the people tweeting me stuff. We're talking about the LA Times poll and how it's different than the national polls, and why it is that LA Times has Trump ahead when they don't like Trump. Well, they don't have anything to do. They started a poll with the same people. They took a fixed group.
Okay.
And they're not
randomly sampling.
The other polls randomly sample. Yeah. They picked a fixed group. I imagine to see how that group changed.
Yeah, they're trying to use a control group to figure out how people are being impacted by the debates and stuff like that.
Let me guess, they're not.
They're not. So evidently, they got an extra Trump guy in that controlled group.
The article really focuses on this 19-year-old black kid from Chicago who is an ardent Trump supporter no matter what's happened, and they're saying that that's kind of skewing the LA Times poll.
Interesting.
Because they're weighting young black voters based on this gentleman.
Roald Chapman.
Wow. So that was a story to that, and that was the explanation of that thing. The other thing is I've been comically talking about bringing Gilligan, my support pelican, my emotional support pelican, on a plane. 1,001 tweets about the duck that now people are bringing on a plane. It's going to offer a
the picture of the duck looking wistfully at the ocean, wistfully at the ocean.
Oh, do you know what his name is, by the way?
No.
Would you like to? It's pretty depressing.
Oh,
it's Daniel Turducken Stinkerbutt. I looked it up.
I love the idea that I share a vessel with something named Stinkerbutt.
Yeah.
On it. All right.
And he's wearing Captain America diapers.
It's walking around the plane wearing a diaper.
How many animals are on that plane?
You know how much you would have to pay me to walk up and down the aisle of a plane with a duck with a diaper on it? I would need it would be solid six figures.
Yeah. Oh wow.
Also, it's going to create a strong moral sort of dilemma when eventually one of these planes goes down and inside of this thing is something that's capable of flight.
Oh yeah.
I wouldn't crack the emergency door open at 4,000 feet and chuck Nana out. But if Nana had wings and could go be set free,
that's a different story.
I might feel like a moral imperative, right?
Yeah,
you're holding
point.
This thing back.
That's a good point.
There it is, staring out the window, looking at a jet engine that's on fire because its cousin flew into it when Sully was over the Hudson.
Oh, that's a good point.
And you are sort of, you know, as a man of nature, as an atheist, but a man of nature, I'd almost feel morally compelled to bust open, not at altitude, not at 32,000 feet.
Initial descent.
But I'm saying as we got closer to terra firma, I'd have to throw that duck out.
Yeah. It's the right thing to do.
It's just the right thing to do. And probably in terms of the last thing that's going to run through my mind is goddamn Fiesta Mix. This way I'll be thinking go free as I go into the abyss. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and speaking of the right thing to
So when I was kidding out loud about Gilligan, my pelican that I was going to travel with 8 years ago, we're getting pretty close.
Yeah.
No, we're there.
We're on the precipice.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what they fed the duck on the plane, which I think is probably cannibalism?
Let's see. No.
Think about it.
Jerky?
Let me walk that back in the terminal. So it's not something you can actually get on the plane.
Oh, in the terminal. Well, then it's got to be
foie gras?
No.
No.
Burger King chicken fingers. Chicken fries.
Feels wrong.
I know
it does. Feels wrong.
Yeah, that's what the article said. They're eating chicken fingers.
All right. So now we have ducks on a plane. Yep. We also
motherfucking ducks.
Somebody played me and Gary. Whenever you're ready with that cut, you can tell me. But
about 15 seconds.
All right. Should we play that commercial? We were talking about the concerned mom.
Oh, she back.
I love.
Did she strike again?
The only good thing about the election years are the concerned mom commercials.
Telling you about the proposition.
Yes. Especially when you grow up with my mom, who was like, hey, your son's got a piece of rebar hanging out of his side. Should we get a tetanus shot? It'll solve itself.
Yeah.
They'd like that.
Yeah, it's a mind control device.
This is concerned moms on the park bench watching the children and talking about, state-run liquor stores or something, right?
Wow.
You know, the thing that I love most about the concerned mom is It's one thing when you're kind of talking about the hypothetical. Mm-hmm. Nothing that's been done before. You know, when you go, you know, I get the part where you're like, it's 1987 and someone is talking about giving out free clean syringes to junkies and folks engaged in homosexual sex. And
why would they do that? Won't that just encourage people to use intravenous drugs?
Right. I get that. Like, I get this never been done before. Well, it's not like, well, listen, in the 1840s, they handed those things out all the time. They didn't have a problem. But I like it when they're talking about, like, liquor stores, because, like, non-state-run liquor stores, because every municipality around, like all the neighboring states and California and everywhere else, has always ran it that way with zero problems or whatever the problems were. They weren't exacerbated by it. Right. So it's not like you.
Yeah, it's not.
You don't have to wonder about what's going to happen.
It's been
because
proven.
If you lived in L.A., it's been happening since 1931.
Right.
All right. Well, let's listen to the concerned moms.
You know, some Harrisburg politicians want to give big companies the right to sell beer and wine in supermarkets.
What?
Big box stores. Even gas stations?
That would be so dangerous for kids.
Dangerous!
Hold on, she's so lucky I'm not sitting there. I'd be like, hell to the air! Oh, Jesus Christ, I've been making my own beer in a bathtub. That'd be so awesome. I go to a big box store, I get like a flat screen TV and a case of Sam Adams. It'd be awesome. All right, sorry. I like that. I always love the person next to him that's even more concerned.
Yeah, I'm equally outraged.
Yes, here we go.
Having alcohol available in so many places?
I read the same kind of law in North Carolina is killing one child every week.
Oh, my.
Oh, man.
That's right.
And I heard wine and spirit stores generate hundreds of millions in profit and taxes. It saves us money.
So politicians want booze to be sold in stores where kids and teens go and lose the pot of money that saves tax dollars, too?
It's about greed, pure and simple.
Greed?
Well, that seems...
What about the money?
It only takes a little bit of greed to kill a child.
That's awesome.
Don't politicians turn convenience stores into bar rooms? You tell your state senator and state representative.
You got my vote.
Is there an award show that we can nominate this for?
Great. I know.
See, that was fair and balanced.
It only takes one vote to kill a child.
With the kid on her lap. We should point out the kid was on her lap.
You know, when you go to the AMPM, everyone's just hanging around singing old German songs and drinking out of a boot, right?
Spilling on each other.
That's right.
Yeah. Give me another beer and here's a fist in your face. Yeah.
Dancing girls up on the counter, guys firing pistols into the air. Or is there just one beleaguered foreign guy trying to sell you jerky?
Hey, good looking. You come here.
I love
often?
These. You know what I love? I'll tell you what I love most about these commercials. It's not the commercial, it's not the writing, it's not the creating, it's the casting and the rehearsal. I know, just like when I think about all those real estate commercials where they have to give the soliloquy about your car fill, how you check torque converters and figured out all the different ratios and all that stuff. I love the fact that that actress has to go home with that pile of sides and she's got to sit there with her boyfriend. She probably just got done blowing the guy. She's not married. That's not her kid.
Painting quite a picture.
She's in her refractory period. And she has to sit there and she has to go, hey, Ted, you got to play concerned grandma. I got your stuff highlighted. We're sitting on a park bench.
Okay.
Hey, did you hear about this Proposition 31?
Yeah, it's really bad.
They want to make alcohol, beer, and wine available at grocery stores.
They sure do, and big box stores as well.
I go to the market with my child. Could you imagine? Oh, hold on. I had a little space.
Oh, okay.
I should have highlighted. Oh, give me the highlighter.
There you go.
Oh, you know what?
What's that?
Let's not use the same color highlighter.
Oh, that's probably what
tripping
you up.
Remember we did Prop 28?
Yeah.
And we used orange?
That admittedly was pretty embarrassing.
We got confused.
Yeah.
You use orange.
Okay.
I'm going to use yellow.
You're yellow, I'm orange.
Yeah.
Got it. Should we pick colors that are a little farther apart? Those are pretty close.
I feel like this is becoming more about the highlighter and less about Prop 31 at this point, Ted.
How much longer are we going to do this till you start blowing me again?
Well, I can't blow you until I learn my lines.
Oh, shit. Well, you get the yellow highlighter.
All right. Do you want to take it from the top, or we just take it from where we
Let's
came off?
Hurry
the big
up and finish.
Starter?
I get blown again.
Okay. Well, hold on. I go to the market with my three. I don't have a three-year-old, by the way.
Okay.
I mean, that's not in the script.
Okay. Oh, you're improvising.
No, I mean, I know we haven't known each other that long.
Yeah, I assumed you had been hiding that from me.
In the script, I have a three-year-old.
Okay. So this isn't you talking. This is your character.
Well, I'd like to think there's not much of a chasm between me and my character once I get into the proper
role. Aside from the three-year-old thing.
Oh, yeah,
that's
sure.
a pretty big chasm.
No, yeah. Understood.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had an abortion. I probably shouldn't have brought that up. Oh, hold on. That's not in the script. No, that's not in the script.
Is this the character speaking?
Yeah. You know what? I'm just going to run these lines with one of my friends at a Starbucks.
But then you can blow me?
Oh. Forgot about that. Yeah, all right. I'll blow you now.
Okay.
Is that in the script?
Is that your character speaking?
And scene. I like the fact that she looked to be 26. She's probably single and had to just go home and work this script and like make it her own.
That's a big job.
And there are 18 other chicks auditioning
for that one role.
Didn't make it
for that one role. Yeah. All right. What do we have? Me
that
screaming.
That was pretty ham-handed. The whole thing.
That's me screaming at Ray.
Yeah, it's got a bit of a setup here in order to get to it before you get to the freak out. But just hold tight with us, and you call your own out.
All right.
It'll take at least a minute before you're ready for that.
All right.
And then you never let me down. You're just drawing little half swastikas on pieces. You're ruining notebooks. And it'd just be, shot of Ray in the third grade. His tongue would be hanging out of the side of his mouth, and he'd have his number two pencil.
All right. Oh, hold on. I don't know how well it's set up, but you can tell me, Gary. But Ray likes to doodle.
Yeah.
He takes the buck slips and he draws a little, like,
swastikas.
Yeah. Well, they're sort of half swastikas. You got to fold the paper together, get the whole swastika.
To go full swastika.
Like a Mad Lib or the back of a Mad magazine. Mad magazine, right. He just sits and doodles and doodles and doodles. He just uses up my buck slips. I'm like, look, if you got something meaningful or a note or a reminder to write down, write it down. But you're just doodling. And then I realized, I said, Ray, I would like to play the song Through the Years and have you in the third grade do like everyone else is doing homework and book reports and stuff. And it's just you doodling.
He's whiling away the time.
We keep going through your whole life. It's a season change and your hair starts
everyone
falling.
Everyone around him is working.
And you're still just doodling. All right. So that's where he started to get upset. But here
really
it is.
Funny stuff.
Teacher would be lecturing on about math and equations and whatnot. We'd pan over. Slow
Matt,
pan.
Get ready some box
slow
slips.
Pan. No. First thing we do to set the table, couple Asian and Indian students dutifully doing the math equation next to Ray.
They're calculus.
We pan over his shoulder to discover Ray, in fact, is not doing the work that's required in the class of everyone else. He's simply just making chicken scratches. And now we go... Now, hold on, Ray. Easy. Hey.
I'm throwing my coffee.
No, don't. Ray, I have a good comedy premise. I have a good comedy premise. I'll put your hands down. Now we cut to young Ray as a contractor. All right, Ray, that's enough. I can't remember. The homeowner's speaking in slow motion. Ray's got a notepad out. We think he's making copious notes, but we cut back. We cut back again to the chicken scratches once again. Now, we have Ray. Okay, Ray. All right, thank you. You don't have to clean up. Don't clean up. Jesus Christ. All right, it's a funny premise, Ray. Come on.
Good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then at the very end, we see the casket laid out. Ray's in his casket. And as we see the bereaving family members and loved ones talking to Monsignor, talking to the priest about the eulogy, we pan over his shoulder and we find, ironically, he's just making scratches on the paper, and it all comes full circle. Yeah, that's right. Slow motion on Monsignor. He's nodding his head, but he's making the same scratches Ray would have wanted.
This is a show about Home Improvement.
He was threatening to throw his stool at me.
It did get clanky and loud.
Every Saturday, he's on theroof.com.
And listen, Ray
can all your Home Improvement issues address.
Yeah.
When Ray threatens to throw stools.
And coffee.
It could go a lot of different ways.
Yeah. He went full Chewbacca at one point.
He did.
Yes.
He was getting pissed because he knew exactly. He knew how right I was. All right. Let's see.
You guys have a special relationship.
Chris is out there. Oh, he should have seen us at 17. First, before we bring Chris in and talk about Prop 64.
Ooh.
Oh, the pot one. On it, baby. Ah, emulsified MCT oil. Love this stuff. I know Vinny Tortorich always talks about this. I know Dr. Drew's all up in the MCT oil. I dump it in the coffee every morning. It satiates, it satisfies, good for your body, good for your brain. And the emulsified stuff mixes right in. So you don't get the Exxon Valdez going on in your coffee mug there. It just goes right on in. And, oh, yeah, they got hemp protein, too, speaking of Prop 64. I just took one of their two of their multivitamins. Everything they drop off, everything from the jump rope to the multivites to the emulsified MCT oil, it's all in me. They got three flavors. They got coconut, they got vanilla, they got strawberry. Mixes in beautifully, and it's so good for you. And like I said, all the other stuff you mix in that tastes like something, just a bunch of corn syrup and water and, you know, and dehydrated whatever, food whatever, screw that. Get some of this emulsified MCT oil. Try it out. I guarantee for those who are dieting, somebody, Vinny sent me an email yesterday, man, had a guy from 310, 200, and 180 in like a year of just listening, heard Vinny on this show. And so let's go. Go to onnit.com/Adam. Do it now and get the emulsified MCT oil for 12% off. It's great stuff. Great sponsor. Try it. And look, get it for your wife. Get it for your family. It's really good stuff. I mean, your health. It's number one. Onnit, onnit.com/Adam. Get it right now. Get the 12% discount. All righty then. We'll take ourselves a quick break. Chris Francie is here. He's the COO of the Marijuana Holding Company. And we're going to talk all about what this could mean to California and your state, too, if you're not in Colorado or
Washington, Oregon.
Washington or Oregon. Yeah, what this could really mean if this is legalized right after this.
Corolla Drinks presents The Vagabonds, Winter 2016 Southwest Tour. San Antonio, Houston, Dallas, Austin, Phoenix, Las Vegas, San Diego. Tickets and info at CorollaDrinks.com. The Vagabonds and Loxy. Baby, let's undo. Plus special guests, local bands, and comedians in every city, including Ryan Dune, George Perez, and Brian Redband. Tickets are $15 or $10 in advance online with the code at CorollaDrinks. The Vagabonds. Tickets now at CorollaDrinks.com. The Vagabonds with Loxy, sponsored by Corolla Drinks. Enjoy Endless Rant IPA and Mangria responsibly. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, man. Yeah. Bob Brian, baby. Gina Grant, man. Go get him, Mace, man.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Chris Francie here. Chris is the COO of Marijuana Holding Company, Calcan Holdings. If I have screwed that up, you jump in and tell me. Here to talk about Prop 64. It's going to be up on November 8th, and we're trying to make marijuana legal here in California. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So give us a couple broad strokes on why we should do this in California.
Well, it's not just a California issue for this election. It's also going to be on 9 state ballots. So
important. What are the other states? Where's it now? So we know we talked about Oregon and we talked
about Washington, Colorado.
What other states are we talking about now coming up?
Oregon, Washington, Colorado, Alaska are the four states that are right now online for recreational or what we call adult use. But I'll use the word recreational for this show because I think it's more understanding to the general public. It's where marijuana is regulated like alcohol for 21 and older. California is voting on that issue. We failed on that issue with Prop 19 in 2010. So it's finally circling back. That was an off election year, so challenging less voter turnout. It feels like an assured thing here in California.
Well, what does your polling tell you at this point?
About 62% in favor.
Well, you think, again, my mom's an old hippie. And, you know, she was an old hippie when she was 38, so now she's a really old hippie. And it was always just, why aren't we legal? I grew up out here, so it was always like, why isn't this illegal? It was always, I mean, we're talking about 1974. I mean, if you would have told her in 2016 it's still not legal in California, she would have sharpened her bong and fell on it and taken herself out, you know, Harry Carey style. So I can't believe it. But is it in a weird way follow the trajectory of, like, gay marriage? Like, it started off as, oh, my God, no, everyone clutched their pearls. And then it was like, well, I could see. And now it's at the point where, oh, come on.
Of course.
Well, I've heard gay marriage moved a little slower because there was nobody making money with that being allowed. So with marijuana, there's a revenue component. There's business behind it. We've definitely seen the tipping point. I mean, the momentum is there. When California passes Prop 64, as I expect the state to do, it will triple the amount of Americans that now are in a state with adult use marijuana. So it's a mover and a shaker. And there's several other states, like I said, nine total, five of which are voting for adult use marijuana. The other states that are doing adult use are Nevada, Arizona, Maine, and Massachusetts.
They're voting on it.
Voting on it.
Yeah.
It's definitely polling strongest. It's polling very strongly in California. States like Nevada, it's not polling quite as strongly, but it still has favorable polling in all states.
Now, I guess some people, everyone uses Colorado as sort of the people that are for it go, hey, look at all the tax revenue, and the people against it go, you know, they find something about driving and impaired or the dropout rates at junior college or something. I mean, look, if you want to dig up some statistic that's negative, you can dig up some
statistic
that's
precisely
that's
it.
Negative.
I mean, all of the studies done on marijuana are conducted in a way to find the harm. They're
right.
not conducted in a way to find the benefits or to debunk any of the harm. So you've got an issue there. And I think that the experiment has gone mainstream in Colorado, and it's been a success. Sure, you can – you know, there's going to be people on both sides of the argument. They can find a harm. It's a big experiment. But believe it – you know, I think that everyone was sort of standing by waiting for the sky to fall when Colorado and Washington did that, and especially when Colorado put it into effect January 114.
I don't think sort of right-minded people were – I wasn't. I mean, I know there's the people that always claim we just saw the commercial about what happens if they started selling beer and wine at a supermarket.
It's going to be a tougher sell in Pennsylvania. They're having trouble with where to sell booze.
The two ladies seem to be concerned, but I don't know if they really were concerned or not. You know, I know that there's concerns of certain people, but I mean, like, I always just thought, oh, they're going to legalize. They're going to make a bunch of tax money. Oh, yeah, there's going to be some story, some kid who got hold of an edible when their parent left it in a place they shouldn't have. But that goes along with everything that you do. Look, you build a stadium, someone's going to fall off of a deck and get killed or get hurt at some point, but it doesn't mean you don't build stadiums. Right. It just means you make them as safe as you can, and someone's going to get stabbed in the parking lot. It's going to happen.
The same thing happens with alcohol, you know, the parents' liquor cabinet. So,
cleaning products. I mean, anything left around the house.
Yeah.
So we have an anti-pot one, Gary.
It's
from your favorite tweets.
Oh, okay. I got, and we'll play one of those with you as well.
Question 4 would allow thousands of pot shops and marijuana operators throughout Massachusetts, in neighborhoods like yours. Shops that sell pot edibles that look like candy and high-potency marijuana. In pro-pot states, incidents of drugged driving and fatal car accidents are up. More pot shops than McDonald's and Starbucks combined. Higher potency, dangerous drivers. It's the reason health professionals are urging
to vote no on four.
Not since Taboo 2. I've been so excited about a mother and a
son getting together.
Wow. All right. Well, that's it. I'm against it. Sorry, Chris. Let's wrap it up here. Yeah, you know, honestly, you know the problem with all of these prop commercials? Mm-hmm. They go so extreme and so bizarre and so comical the other direction. I've always told somebody, or anybody, and I probably shouldn't put it out there, but I've always said, like, look, if you really want to insult me, don't go, your movie was the worst movie I've ever seen in my life, minus 10 stars. Go, I give it 2 stars. I'm normally a fan, not your best work. Mm. You know, get a little closer to reality and it'll
sink
resonate.
In, yeah.
Yeah, right. And these guys and these commercials should get a little closer to reality instead of going full French farce when it comes to this. But that's who you're up against.
The more educated somebody is on the topic, the more in support that they are. So, you know, there's so much criminal injustice around marijuana and you know, the general public just is kind of unaware of this. So the people that are still voting no on this issue just don't understand it as well. As the same thing happens besides these state matters. You know, we deal with a lot of city ordinances.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking to cities, you know, about the benefits, the relative harms. But, you know, for the most part, you know, we're seeing cities start to fall like dominoes.
I have this sort of thing, which is it's my sort of two drinking fountain, Negro and white theory, which is
okay, the good old days.
Yeah, it's the salad days. But it's this thing where you go, you know, here we are. It's, 1963. You're sitting at the park. It's got the two drinking fountains. And you think to yourself, how long is this going on? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, is this going to be – my grandkids going to be using a separate drinking fountain? And as the states start to fall and the other states are still hanging on and fighting, like, don't you just go, look, there used to be a thing I think in – I think it was in What's My Line or Password or whatever it was. They would do – they'd go, Arlene Francis, flip over all the cars. Let's find out who the secret guest is or whatever it is. And they'd go, let's just flip over all the cars. That's what I'm saying about pot and like or gay marriage or whatever. Like, let's just flip over. Let's just get to the end.
Yeah.
We can spend 11 years arguing about this like we spent the last 20 years or we can just flip over all the cards. Legalize it and get on to education, roads, infrastructure, and fighting ISIS. Now, speaking of that, how much money do you guesstimate we're going to generate if N64 is passed along?
Colorado's $1 billion market. So California is expected by 2020 to be a $6 or $7 billion market.
Sold.
How that translates into revenue, the Adult Use of Marijuana Act, Prop 64, if it passes, it levies a 15% tax on the sale of recreational marijuana at sale. There's also taxes for the cultivation and manufacturing of it. So you're talking, you know, potential of up to $1 billion to the state. How that is dispersed is through a fund. About 50 of it is earmarked for specific places, medical marijuana research, University of California will do a couple million there, $10 million to research the driving effects, you know, studies on the effects.
So there's a certain amount of it's allocated toward
very little, though.
Safety measures or whatever.
Very little. It's only like 50 Good. Million of it that's allocated. And then there's a catch-all. 60% of the catch-all will go towards youth programs, you know, drug abuse, places like that. All so right.
We're still going to have a huge homeless population. It'll be one of those things where I know no matter how much money we make, there's always going
to
be
find a way to flush it.
Sleeping on my lawn. All right. So it'd be yes on November 8th, yes on Prop 64. And if you're in one of the states we'd mentioned as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Florida's important. Florida tried to pass it 2014, their medical marijuana law. It's a shame that it got 58% of the vote, But to change constitutional law in Florida, you need 60%.
Oh, wow.
It's polling right now at 77%. But still, if you're in Florida, get out and vote yes on the issue.
Again, it'll go the way of see, there's certain things to me that fall under the heading of sort of progress. And they only can go one direction. We can't really retard that. I know every time there's an election, somebody is worried about this guy gets elected. He's going to take away a woman's right to whatever. It's not going to happen because it's an involvement. It's a thing. And people go, oh, yeah, but what about in this small town over here and this happened? This woman didn't have access to whatever. I get it. But in general, it's like anything that has to do with, like, you know, it's illegal for a black woman to marry a white man. All right. That's gone. And there's nothing that can ever get that. You can't undo it because it's a social kind of progress. Right. It's like saying, oh, you elect this guy and women won't be able to wear pants anymore. They'll have to go back to wearing skirts. It's like it can't because it's in front of us. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And there are other things you can argue about. There are other taxes. There are other props. There are other things that involve society where you can go, well, charter schools or public schools or, you know, there are other things that can be discussed and argued about. This, for me, when it falls under the progression, the gay marriage, the two drinking fountains that can get married, who can get that, all that kind of stuff, it just is. And it's going to go. So it'll happen. If it doesn't happen in Florida this time, it'll happen next time. But it's going to go.
That's the direction.
It's definitely hit that tipping point of support. It's endorsed by Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom. So, I mean, there's some serious endorsements on Prop 64.
Why doesn't Brown endorse this?
Well, Brown signed the Medical Marijuana Regulation and Safety Act last October, and he does, you know, vote on many marijuana-related laws. I just don't know whether
he's not all in for a guy used to bang Linda Ronstadt in 1971
adult use. I don't know. I mean, I think adult use is still to some degree an experiment. I mean, it's pretty big to change the substances that we select from.
I get it. I just mean if there's one thing you'd think Brown would be a shoo-in for, it would be this.
And they call him Moonbeam.
Yeah, he seems to be hedging a little. But anyway.
He's had opportunities to shut down marijuana was what I was trying to say with the passage of MRSA last year, October. But he's voting intelligently on these issues. He recently vetoed a bill that attempted to exempt L.A. from needing a city license to have a marijuana dispensary. Mm-hmm. L.A., if you're familiar, has these pre-ICO interim control ordinance dispensaries. And these people operate with limited immunity from the city. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, they do not have a state license.
Right.
So without a city license. Without a city license, you will not be able to vie for a state license. Somebody tried to do a workaround bill. Brown vetoed that. Which I was glad to see because I think that was the right decision. So I think he's looking at these issues and making the right decisions as far as I'm concerned. So whether he supports it or not doesn't matter. I think he's doing his job.
All right. You know what to do. 64. Get out and vote. I'll be chilling with Baldwin. Smoking some spleef backstage.
Mail-in ballot.
All right. Should we do a little news, Gina Grad?
Let's do it. Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Showbiz, Congress, tech news, sports news, world news. Give me news with Gina Grad. Weird shit out of Florida. Sex surveys, Obama. Need news with Gina, Gina Grad. The news with Gina Grad. Well, Adam, I'm pretty sure you called this one. Commuters in New York City got an eyeful Tuesday morning as they exited the Bowling Green MTA station. WSBT reports that a rendering of Hillary Clinton was placed on the busy sidewalk, seen with an open blouse, exposing her breasts and what looked like cloven hooves, as a man with pursed lips sort of embraces her from behind, possibly trying to breastfeed. He's kind of wrapped around her.
I think the story was he was like a Wall Street guy or something like that.
Yeah, in a little suit. Exactly. Yeah. The statue did not last long, though, as a lone woman took it upon herself to knock it over, break off the pieces, call the police while she sat on it. A lot of people
squat.
Wow.
Property.
Yep. A lot of people on the internet called out the hypocrisy of this, as many laughed and took pictures of the naked Trump statues with the microphallus that were placed all over the city, but didn't have the same sense of humor when it came to Hillary. This woman wanted this gone.
Yes, I was explaining that it would not be taken the same way. Mm-hmm. I get it.
Yeah.
But and it's only a matter of time before somebody did this, right?
It's a rough photo. Sure. It's a rough statue.
Yeah. So I don't know how long did Trumps last?
Well, they have,
or they were selling them, right?
They were kind of everywhere, and the police, I believe the story was the police let everyone kind of laugh and take the picture and say, all right, and then they made some erection pun that you're not allowed to erect statues in the park, take them down. But this woman tackled it and dismembered it.
She
mantled it.
She tackled it not because she was for it, or she was...
Very much against it. Yeah.
She wasn't attacking it like a dog would attack a burglar.
It was a how dare you.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And I love that. Yeah.
That statue, though. I'm a little sad because it is quite a statue, quite a piece of work.
I think it's, do we have any footage of it?
Yeah, the woman in the white blouse is trying to take it apart. She works at the Native American Museum across the street, I believe.
Oh, so you know she's super cool. Abandoned property. So like when you leave your bicycle at the curb, that's abandoned property?
Yeah.
Park my car outside.
She's kicking.
Hey, man, you left it.
Oh, she's wearing a thong back.
Hey, thong back.
She's sitting on it.
Which makes it worse.
Aren't you guys sad that you're not... I'm not this passionate about my kids, much less a paper mache candidate. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or a real candidate, for that matter.
Also, I'm also jealous of the people that no matter what part of the day it is, I have carved out 47 minutes where I can stand in the street and argue with other insane people.
Like, it's my lunch break. I'll spend it how I see fit.
If you see me, I'm going somewhere or coming from somewhere, but I'm walking with purpose.
Yeah, you're not loitering.
I always wish someone could go, hey, Adam, what's up? There's crazy people out in the street arguing over nothing. Let me get in on some of that. What's it going to take? Oh, you know, could be shorty, like 12 minutes, could go up to 2 hours. Well, it doesn't matter.
I got nothing but time.
Let me just crack mine, sure. I don't want to dehydrate out there and then go argue with the crazy people.
See you soon, or not.
Or not.
Yep.
Doesn't matter. What day is it? Oh, who cares? So these are the scariest people in the world because it's the people with time. It's whether they're the neighbor, the neighbor who's like, middle of the week, middle of the day, you're cutting the tree that's on your property, but the branch hangs over into their thing, and you're simply, what are they doing? That's the time thing. I never have that. So I never, whether it's that or whether it's we're going out. We're going to the Trump rally. We're going to go yell at the people at the Trump rally. Like we're going to, whatever it is, where does all the time? Mm-hmm. Think about where's the time come from?
The public hearings on the public access channel.
Oh,
those guys will camp out all day.
They'll
to give
be
you a
there.
Piece of their mind.
I'm a veteran.
Yeah.
As a former prosecutor and former veteran, as someone who served this country proudly, they always do the 10-minute run up and then.
And a piece of lined paper that's shaking.
Yep.
Yeah. Trudy the Donkeys of Japan. She is majestic. She does not deserve to be held not only in a pen that is 20 by 20, but actually 4 feet of it is on an easement, which is technically city property, okay, in a neighborhood that has a zone 9 clearance that's not zoned for bovine. That's not, I'm a veteran. Yeah, no, I don't live in the neighborhood. That does not stop me from having strong. No, I live in an apartment in Alhambra. As the crow flies, probably 23 miles from Trudy the Donkey, but I have very strong feelings that I've articulated on this steno pad. If I could please get the time to express myself. Who are these people? Who are they? The ones that write the letters, you know, Dear NBC.
Dear editor.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Who are they?
I don't know, but they like to contact radio stations as well.
Here's my question to these people. Do you have energy or don't you have energy? Because
that's a good point.
It's Tuesday, it's 2 in the afternoon, and you're sitting on your ass watching Drew Carey spin a wheel. That would suggest low energy. On the other hand, you've taken to the streets. and you're screaming through a bullhorn at somebody over nothing, over Trudy the donkey. So yeah. what is it, low energy or no energy? Because what it is you're displaying right now suggests incredible high energy, but I took a look at your tax returns, and that says no energy. Yeah, that says low deceased, 1989. So which is it?
Well, does it seem like if it's about you being productive, it's low energy, but if it's about everybody else's life,
yes,
it's high energy?
It's about everybody else, yes. Oh. If it's about you trimming the branch yourself, it's zero energy. If it's about going over to Paul Bryan's house and knocking on the door and saying, excuse you, or leaving a note on his windshield, then it's endless energy.
Yep.
Thus, the problem with all of these things, you only get the nut jobs.
Yeah.
It's self-selecting. You don't get sort of fair-minded, reasonable folks who are just like, well, I'm at the rally. I'm ready to hear both sides.
I'm very busy right now, but I spoke.
I've had a little time for a rally or to sit on a paper mache Hillary Clinton.
Nope.
All right.
Never happened. Well, speaking publicly for the first time in a Breitbart News video exclusive interview, a former local TV news reporter from Arkansas claims she was sexually assaulted by Bill Clinton on three occasions in 1980. Her name's
Fool Me Once.
Leslie. Well, actually, she addresses that. Leslie Milwee says
Bill's got to break that pencil when he's like, when they do the thing where he's like watching CNN and they're like, coming up, a woman who says she was sexually assaulted. And he's like, yeah, in Arkansas. It's like pencil snap. Like, please have it be on a Learjet.
Exactly. Please have it be on the set of The Apprentice.
In a tower
please
named after
be,
you.
Yes, please have it be on one of the Twin Towers. Like, in Arkansas. Oh, damn. And there's got to be so a part of him that's got to hold out a little hope. Well, Trump's got to go to Arkansas occasionally. He's got to go through. He's got to stop in Arkansas at some point, right?
Fuel up.
Golf course.
Yeah. Well, she described an encounter with Clinton while in an edit bay she was working in. Here's a clip.
He came up behind me. It's very close quarters. You have to understand that his private parts were right at my neck. Ooh. I was sitting in a chair. He's touching me on my shoulders, working his hands down from behind, and he starts to hunch me. He did that the first time. The second time,
what
which was probably
this?
A week or 80. So later,
80.
I did approach him after he did it the first time, and I said, please don't ever do anything like that to me again. It's very offensive, it's upsetting, and I do not want you to do that. He laughed, and the second time, about a week later, he came in. He made a beeline immediately for me. I excused myself, went to the editing room, and he came in behind me, started hunching me to the point that he had an orgasm.
Whoa!
He's trying to touch my breasts, and I'm just sitting there very stiffly.
Pause it for a second. Wait. I got to say, I know where she worked.
Oh.
1980. Mm-hmm. I was wondering, because that episode of Heart to Heart seemed very disjointed.
Yeah, very,
yeah, jerky. Yeah, like it jumped forward, then it jumped back again. Yeah. I could tell whoever was editing that was not
in their right mind.
Well, they were distracted, let's put it.
There was no continuity editor.
I was 15 at the time, and I was watching, going, something's going on in that bay.
Yep.
Well, now we know.
Now we know. She couldn't concentrate.
All right, we'll let her finish.
I'm pretty sure the word hunch is hump. Okay. But she says hunch another time. It's a little confusing.
Okay. All right,
hunching
see.
Me.
Let's try to hear.
Waiting for him to leave me alone, and I'm asking him the whole time, please do not do this. Do not touch me. Do not hunch me. I do not want this.
And she's playing a wild hump. The hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yeah. The humpback of Notre Dame. It could work both ways.
All right. Couple of things.
Hunchback whales.
Whether it's I guess I was going to retract the statement because, you know, when you hear about the 28th chick that Trump went up to, you know, first class and tried to grab some labia or something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the story is always like, I threw my drink in his face or I told him to leave the hotel room or I put my bathrobe on and pushed him out of the room. Like, there is a couple things. One is how many times does this technique have to fail before you
get back to the throwing board?
Going up and just grabbing titties. You know what I mean? Because
yes.
I must say, if I thought it was an effective technique and I was a single guy, like, hey, see that chick at the end of the bar? Yeah, I'm going to go up there and grab her snatch.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Works 85% of the time.
No idea.
I did it five times last week.
I find that hard to believe.
Smell
that's
my
amazing.
Fingers. Oh. You don't believe me?
Wow, you're
yeah.
right.
Mm-hmm. There's you're a little right. Sam Adams in there, but mostly Snatch.
Unbelievable.
That works like a charm. But when the chick turns around and slaps you in the face or tells you to please get out of here or this is uncomfortable or I let him know that this was not okay or whatever it is, like, why you keep going back to that well?
Yeah. The devil you know.
Yeah, there are a lot of guys who have that impulse, maybe 85, 90% of human beings, but they also realize, well, if I send over a drink and then go ask her a couple mm-hmm. questions mm-hmm. about what she does for a living and feign some interest, mm-hmm. I could get laid that way.
Right.
If I run up, grab a titty, and make a honking sound, probably not going to get laid.
Lower return.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know why this is the move.
Or mm-hmm. like Trump is, and because we've been hearing about this for years as well, is Clinton such a wild narcissist that he doesn't, A, see the other person as an actual person, or maybe he likes the challenge. Maybe it's just a power thing.
Well, to be fair
Drew
to
Drew, and you say, or interrupt, but yeah. on Loveline, he was like a sex addict. Like Drew had sort of pegged yeah. him, like, oh, that guy's a sex addict.
I think, there's a couple things. You know, when you say to some, you know, when you do this thing where you go, look, the guy had a beautiful wife and two kids and a fantastic job, and he gave it all up with drugs. He, you know, took that 400 Percocet a day, and he got fired, and he's divorced. Like, whoa, why? Yeah. Why? Why? You know, we do why, and it's like, yeah. oh, because he's an addict.
Right.
That's
right.
A why? There's no why. Right. You know, hey, the guy's going with Khloe Kardashian. He's in the NBA. He's having a great life. Well, what's he doing? Well, he's addicted. Mm-hmm. It's a thing. That's what happens. Yeah. That's where the why part comes in. So, yeah, I always thought that Clinton sort of had that, but at least he's got some method to his madness, because evidently it's worked out a couple of times for him. You know, Trump doesn't sound like
he's still mastering the techniques.
Trump doesn't sound like it's worked out that often, but, you know, to tell, like, you know, Clinton would have to go when you go, like, hey, Bill, yeah. Hey, when a chick's working at Edit Bay and you come up behind her and just rest your nutsack on her left shoulder, yeah. Not a good technique. He'd go, oh, really? I wish you were around last week.
Check the footage.
I was in an Edit Bay up top. Well, actually, I was in B Edit Bay. We're in A Edit Bay. But anyway, there was a young lass in there. Mm-hmm. Worked like a charm.
Started off in B, ended up in A.
Mm-hmm. All right. Boy, I'll tell you what. If this the election's wrapping up mercifully soon.
We're limping to the finish line.
Yeah.
But if this thing went on for like another 9 months,
your
you'd literally be
years.
Stories like, yeah, I was there when Hillary Clinton lit the homeless guy on fire. Mm-hmm. And
I'll testify to it.
She put on a strap on and had sex with his lifeless corpse.
Yeah, yeah, it was
there.
Ash everywhere.
I was there.
Yeah.
And Trump, he didn't try to stop her. He wanted in too.
Well, high-fiving.
I think they teamed the homeless guy's charred remains. Yeah, for sure. Wow. I was there. I think I got some pictures on my phone. Yeah. I mean, we're running out of time.
It's ugly.
We're running out of time, but we would get there, right?
You're probably right.
Save it for the sequel.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of that, the Canadians feel very sorry for us over this whole election. they're really actually like taking pity on us. They started a campaign called Tell America It's Great, which is a play on Trump's, of course, Make America Great Again. Includes a Twitter account, a hashtag, a YouTube video. It was created by a Toronto creative agency called Garden Collective, who explained that they all have family and friends and colleagues here who could use a little break from all the negativity. So a little condescending, a little sweet. You decide. Here's the video.
Hi, America.
What's up, America? Hey, guys. We're just up here in Canada talking about how great you guys are down there. We thought we'd just send you a little bit of a love note.
We're big fans. We like you guys.
We know you've got some really big decisions to make. But as you're thinking about your future, we just want you to know that
you guys are great.
You really are great.
You invented the internet.
You guys are going to get humanity to Mars.
Your national park systems protect some of the most beautiful places on Earth.
All your diversity and all your openness.
The fact that you're such a giving nation. Over $250 billion a year is donated to charities.
So wonderful and warm and accommodating.
When things are tough, you fight to make them better.
The disability rights movement in America is amazing.
You are infectious, entertaining.
Your gift to the world of jazz music.
Bluegrass music, R&B.
Biggie and Pop.
Political and social activism.
Forging new paths.
You dream big.
Your quest to be the best creates the best.
A land of opportunity where anyone can be anything they want to be.
The vibrancy and the diversity and the idea that we can all live together.
You know, America, I think you're already great.
You're great, America.
We all love you. And we think you've always been great.
Thanks, America. I think you're great.
Stay great, America.
Shot entirely in Cleveland.
Yeah. They talk funny.
Mm-hmm. Clinton was like, where's the edit bay? Did they edit that?
Who cut that together? I'd like to shake her hand.
I actually started feeling a little bit better about myself.
We're great.
Let's start every show like that.
We don't need your sympathy, Canada.
I mean, we could use it, but we don't need it.
Need it.
That's right. I'll tell you what we do need. Stamps.com, everybody. I've been telling you about this for years. I love the success story of my fans. Oh, like Tony Matalone. What did he do? He uses it for his business. Hand armor chalk. Oh, I wish. You know, there's certain things you can buy, equipment-wise. Okay. You know what I mean? Yeah, you could buy a crash helmet or some boxing gloves or something like that. But the little pouch that holds the chalk in it when you're doing free climbing.
Oh, yeah. You got to reach in there, grab a little on your fingertips.
Yeah. Chris, you do some rock climbing, right?
I do.
You got one of those pouches?
Yeah,
you gotta earn that. What's it called?
Chalk bag.
Chalk bag.
Of course, the guy with tremendous upper body strength knows what it is.
Yeah, of course, it's a bag that holds chalk. But you gotta earn that bag.
Yep.
I can't just buy that bag and walk around with it.
It's a mini man purse if you don't earn it.
Yeah. No, I gotta earn one of those. Anyway.
Back to
what
stands.
Was I saying? Oh yeah, we love it. So says Tony from Hand Armor Chalk. You should get some of that. It's much better than the chalk you're currently using.
Yeah,
trust us.
Now with more chalky goodness. Yeah, we love it. We don't have to drive across town during business hours. We can order our supplies direct from Stamps.com. And they weigh the packages. They send them out. It's easy. I don't know what one of those chalk bags weighs or how much postage to put on it. Stamps.com. They got an offer. You get a scale. You weigh out your parcel. The exact right amount comes out of your computer, out of the printer. Put it right on there. Hand it to the postman. Super easy. Right now, you use my name, Adam. Get the free 4-week trial. $110 bonus offer includes the digital scale. Go to stamps.com. Right now, before you do anything else, type in the homepage, stamps.com. Type in Adam. Stamps.com. Enter Adam. You're a pilot too, right, Chris?
I am.
Jesus
Christ! You're so much man, much more man than we are. What do you do? What do you like to fly?
I just started flying again recently. I flew a Mooney for a couple of years when I was in Pennsylvania.
What is a private, Mooney?
That's a type of airplane. It's a brand.
Oh, yeah, it's called a Mooney. I figured it's an airplane.
Yeah, it's like
I thought it was a slang term.
I know, you know, it's like, you know, it's a manufacturer like Cessna, Mooney, and
okay,
yeah,
single engine stuff.
Single engine, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, we're looking at pictures of movies.
That's cool.
Right now. Hey, you know, to me, the Mason-Dixon line is a retractable landing gear versus non-retractable.
Okay.
If it retracts, you're in good shape. If it's still hanging out there.
Pilot.
Yeah, it's like you ever see a guy on a – yeah, when you see – I'm looking at retractable landing gear. Yeah. No, I got it because you showed me the picture where it had no landing gear, and I thought that'd be a very irresponsible way to build
landing.
An aircraft. Gary had to show it retracting. I got it. You're being thorough. What I'm saying is the once in a while I see a guy on a motorcycle and he's at the signal and it turns green. He takes off and has both feet hanging out all the way across the intersection. Shows me the guy can't ride.
It's like he's drag racing, right?
Yeah, right. When I see the guy at the retractable gear that separates the pilots.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do one more. What do we got?
Well, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has announced a list of 19 nominees for induction next April, a ceremony in Brooklyn. I don't know if you already saw. Some
no.
I think you'll like. Feel vindicated. Some you... So I'm going to run through the list for you, right?
Does it indicate the first timers so we know who's up? Okay.
I will let you know if it is a previously nominated band. Bad Brains. I don't know if that's your thing. Punk band. Yeah.
Oh, they're like a black
punk
band.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. All right. Chaka Khan, previously nominated.
Here's what, I don't know, if you like it, if you don't like it. I don't know if Bad Brains is there because of their punk music or the first African-American black band, but now we're sliding into this territory where it's like, well, she didn't have a lot of hits, but she's a lesbian, so let's get her in here. Yeah. Which is like I get this part of me that gets it, but there's a part of me that also that kind of says, I don't know if you'd want to do that with any Hall of Fame.
Yeah, like, you've had to have kind of make some kind of impact culturally, right?
Well, I guess what I'm saying is, like, there's an NFL Hall of Fame. Uh-huh. Steve Largent's white, you know what I mean? But you wouldn't want him with not a lot of great stats in because we're looking to diversify.
Right.
Using an opposite analogy, sure. But you know, you'd go, well, he didn't have that many catches. There were plenty of black dudes on his team that were better than he was.
Jason
but,
Sehorn, he's the last white NFL cornerback.
Yeah, so, we're looking around it. Yeah,
got to represent.
I don't know. I know bad brains. I don't know where they are in the. I don't know where. Look, black flags not getting in, or the germs, or whatever. I don't know.
I know people in music who consider Bad Brains very influential. I personally couldn't name any of their songs.
Okay. Well, so, we'll assume it's not affirmative action.
Yeah. Depeche Mode. Yes. ELO.
Depeche Mode.
First time, by the way, ELO.
All right.
Really?
Yep. Jane's Addiction, first time. Mm. Janis Jackson, previously nominated.
Mm. Wait, Depeche Mode's been nominated before?
No. I'm sorry. Depeche Mode and ELO have not been nominated before. Joan Baez.
Mm-hmm.
Journey. Kraftwerk, MC5.
Okay, if I hear "Don't Stop Believing" again, I will kill myself. It's driving me insane. I blame The Sopranos.
Yeah, you should. And karaoke chicks.
Mm-hmm.
Pearl Jam, which is probably their first opportunity, right?
Yeah, I imagine they're shoo-in.
Yeah.
Well, they're rock and roll, and that's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
In 25 years, I think. Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't we go with just the Music Hall of Fame, though, now? I mean, Janet Jackson.
The rock and roll part does seem anachronistic.
Once Donna Summer got in there, it became the Music
Madonna,
Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Yep.
Steppenwolf.
All right.
The Cars, previously nominated. Right. The Zombies.
Mm-hmm.
Tupac, which is maybe, and again, for
Music
the name
Hall of Fame.
And finally, Yes.
Oh.
Okay.
So that's the list. We will see what happens, I believe, in December. The ceremony's in April, but we will see, I think, sooner than that. The inductees will be announced in December.
Not angry at that list.
Tupac is a worthy entry. I mean, more of a Music Hall of Fame, obviously, than rock and roll, but undeniable impact.
I know a lot of people are very excited about ELO getting their recognition.
I love ELO.
I was going to say, are you a fan? Because
Jeff Lynne's a genius.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they wouldn't be in there earlier. I think they weren't considered rock and roll.
Like Madonna.
But that's now that it's not rock and roll anymore, then we got room for ELO. Plus, they have Rockaria, which is the only rock song that I know that has a chick singing opera in it that Dawson's going to find. And in my never-ending quest of being upset when people don't know that their name is the name of a song, we're talking about Angie and the Stones and producer Angie, not knowing of that Stones song. Right. That's a little band called the Rolling Stones.
Probably top 10 hit.
Came and went mid-60s. I remember talking to Adam De La Pena, who used to be my writer's assistant at the Man Show and has gone on to do many different things.
Mijo,
the original Mijo. And his wife is a professional opera singer.
Wow.
So I brought up to her Rockaria, which is the ELO rock song that has... sings nothing about, it's all about opera, and it has a professional opera, female opera singer in it. And she said, wait, you can start it, start over again. Never heard of it. I thought, maybe you, but don't you work with people or someone? Hey, check this out.
Add it into your hemisphere.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead, sorry.
That's the list.
Rock and roll!
Oh, it's coming.
Just got back from the downtown party where the music was so sweet. And I've been right back in the alley. I'm ready. Yeah, I'm ready. Oh, 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 I'm ready. And I'm really gonna rock tonight.
We'll just play it till she starts singing again.
She's sweet on my bed. I think she died for Beethoven.
She loves to wait for teeny last night to know. A bird is always creeping from her room.
Oh, one more. Not ELO, but in the Never Heard of That, When I Do It for a Living. When Kevin Hinch and I were editing, actually foaling, sound mixing The Hammer, we were with this young guy, and that's what he did. He'd go record the sound of him crunching on
Foley.
Something, you know, ice cubes, and it would sound like broken glass or whatever. And it was kind of a fun thing. And then we'd be sitting, you sit in the edit bay, and you mix in all the punching sounds and all the sounds and whatever. And then we asked him if he liked the movie Modern Romance, which starred Albert Brooks as a Foley guy. That's what he did. There's tons of scenes of him with George Kennedy and stuff, doing the Foley, whatever.
Making sounds.
Yeah, making sounds. And he was like, huh? And I was like, Albert Brooks movie. And he's like, I don't know. And I said, there's only been one movie in the annals of movie-making history where the guy had your job as the Foley guy. You've never heard of it. It's like, nah. Why is there so many works on your Foley floor that hands you a disc at some point and goes, hey, this guy's one of us. Like, he's got... You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's odd they hadn't come to his purview.
It happens a lot more than I would have thought. So the opera gal never heard the opera song, and the Foley guy never saw the Foley.
And but I didn't notice in this version. Maybe Dawson, you did that version because I know some do and some don't. You hear her saying "oops."
They all do. They all have her.
Oh, they do.
Oops. Yeah.
I thought it was
mixed right
out.
It's right at the beginning.
She started too early.
Jeff Lynn said he wasn't going to use it to her. But then
you put it in. Okay.
Yeah.
It's great.
All right.
I forgot to listen for that.
I love that song. Oh, good. So good on Jeff and all the other. I let them know. Let them all know I approve.
Oh, okay. Will do.
I'm fine. And I approve of DraftKings. Ooh, how's the fantasy football going, huh? Pulled some hamstrings, huh? Sleeper picks still sleeping. Not too late to save the season and win huge cash prizes at DraftKings. Gary, how are you hanging?
I'm doing good. I got into a $5 league here, and if you end up in the top 1,000, you end up with over $2,500. So it's a hell of a league.
DraftKings, the destination for 1 week fantasy football. No season long commitments. You play when you want. You play with the players you want. Never again will the injuries have you combing the waiver wire at 2 a.m. No, it's DraftKings, man. Have some fun. Every week is a brand new season at DraftKings. You can renew old rivalries. You can prove who the superior GM is. Or you can try the 50-50 contest where the top half of all the entries is going home with cash. So even while your team is circling the drain that you picked, 10 weeks ago or something like that. Still, you can win huge cash prizes at DraftKings, DraftKings.com. Dawson.
Don't wait. Start your new season at DraftKings.com now. Use code Adam and play for free with your first deposit. That's code Adam to play for free for your share of over $1 million in total prizes this weekend. Only at DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See site for details.
All right. Us, Anaheim, October 28th, The Grove, Milo Yiannopoulos going to be up there with us, so that'll be a lively show. I'll be signing some bottles of Endless Ran or Mangria. We'll figure it out. Or both. That'll be at Provisions Market out in Orange. So me and Mike August will be there. He'll be eating, taking pictures. I'll be signing. Why not work before I go to work? You know what I mean? So much more time to work. Dallas, November 4th, Majestic Theater. Then Austin, the 5th, Paramount Theater. And we're going out to Coda, man. Circuit of America. So I'm going doing a vintage race. So you guys come out. Say hi. We'll be driving the BRE 510. So come say hi. I'll be hanging out there. And then it's off to New York City. We'll bring you that Baldwin episode as well. All the live shows, and go to AdamCarolla.com. The 24-Hour War. Everyone keeps calling it 24-Hour War. But it is the 24-Hour War. And you can check out the trailer, if you like, at trailers.apple.com. And check it out. coming out mid-November. Stay tuned. I'll tell you all about it. Until Gina.
Yes.
Children's Hospital clothing request.
Yeah. So I did a little bit of work with this program called Girl Talk, which is amazing. They work with children between 6 and 17 years old that... let's just say are very familiar with the inside of that hospital. So they have an event coming up. They're doing a fashion show. I got to help pick out their outfits. It was so much fun. So they are looking to help fill their little goodie bags for their fashion show so every girl gets to take something home. If you have a connection to jewelry, makeup, purses, hair accessories, stuff that girls like, can you please email me, Gina@AdamCarolla.com, and if you can give me 19 of them, because there are 19 kids and they really, really deserve this, that would be awesome.
Listen, I'll save you time right now. Let me just pop the trunk.
Yeah, go search
you by the dumpster.
Some of it is my own stuff. Other stuff is stuff left behind. Some may call it evidence.
Lightly used.
Lightly
soiled.
Nothing gently used, please. All
either
brand
way,
new.
I've collected it from some of the best edit bays in Hollywood. And, of course, Chris Francie, everyone. Proposition 64. Get out there and vote November 8th. Let's make it legal, everybody. Come on now. It's 2016. And Alpine Village, man. I want to thank these guys for the food. The Oktoberfest. They brought over a bunch of schnitzel and whatever grooving, and it was delectable.
Whatever grooving.
Friday, by the way, Alpine Village in Torrance. Everyone's going to be there. The Endless Rant's going to be pouring. People are going to be drinking from boots. The lackeys are going to be there. So keep clicking through the Amazon button, AdamCarolla.com, and all the good stuff. And until next time, this is Adam for Chris and Gina and Bald Sam. Mahalo.
Daniel Turducken Stinker Butt.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show and get Ace up to 500,000 Twitter followers. Follow him on the Twitter at Adam Carolla. Gina Grad does a real little morning radio show, 6 to 10 a.m. at 100.3 The Sound in Los Angeles. For tickets and info on all Adam Carolla stuff, shows, podcasts, stand-up, Mangry events, Endless Rant IPA, and more, it's all up there at AdamCarolla.com.
Stay tuned for the latest AP News headlines from Podcast One, right after this.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Way early this morning, Brad Higdon shared a major spoiler alert from everyone's favorite hit show, sad emojis to express his feelings about the plot twist, and a playlist he made to drown out his sorrows? Dude, oversharing alert. Brad, Geico has something worth sharing with those who haven't befriended you. Like how you could save hundreds on your car insurance at Geico.com. So stop moping about the post-apocalyptic world and start saving in the real world. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
AP Update. I'm Rita Foley. Roman Catholic Cardinal Timothy Dolan, the host of last night's Catholic Charities Black Tie Dinner in New York, says there were some touching private moments between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, like when Trump turned to her and told her she's tough and talented.
He said this has been a good experience in this whole campaign, as tough as it's been. And she said to him, and Donald, whatever happens, we need to work together afterwards.
But at the speaker's podium, each of them let it rip. Trump saying he heard Clinton went to confession before the dinner.
The priest was having a hard time when he asked her about her sins. And she said she couldn't remember 39 times.
Donald, after listening to your speech, I will also enjoy listening to Mike Pence deny that you ever gave it.
Mike Pence, of course, is Donald Trump's running mate. AP Update. I'm Rita Foley.
This is Carolla Digital.